You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
And welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Hey, y'all. How you been doing? I hope blessed is the answer. I'm always so happy every time I get to see you and spend a little bit of time with you. You know, I take prayer very seriously, and a lady called me, and she's just so upset. I mean, she's just so, really outdone, you know. And she said, my prayers just aren't working. Nothing is happening. And the very first thought I had out of my mouth, and it just came right out, no filter, right? And I surprised myself with it, was, how do you know? How do you know? And it really surprised me because y'all know me. I'm usually really, I try to be real sweet, you know, serve everything with a side of syrup, right? And I surprised myself because I said, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know your prayers aren't working? And she was a little bit startled by that. She was real startled by that. And I said, you know what? I'm fixing to go on a trip, and I will pray for you, and I will get an answer. We'll get an answer to this. I don't know what it'll be, but some kind of a wonderful way, God will give us an answer. So I was on the plane and heading to another country, right? And all was well. Everything went smoothly. And so I try to sleep on the plane. That's what I try to do. I try to, you know, put my headphones in and get some rest and have some prayer time and some spiritual time on the plane. So, but on this particular flight, I was asleep. Sound asleep. Happily asleep. Wonderfully asleep. And I woke up. And I was kind of excited. You know how you have those little butterflies in your tummy where they're sort of tickling you from the inside out and you think, oh my goodness, something great is happening? And it was. And so I like to sit on the aisle, you know, but I looked over out the window and I could see the lights below us and they were flickering and they were beautiful. And I thought, oh, we must be here. This is wonderful. I'm so excited to get here. There's folks waiting on me. I'm going to be meeting these people that are my new relatives, and it's just going to be wonderful. And then the plane kind of did something I wasn't expecting. I could see where we're supposed to be. I could look right out there and see it all lit up. But we kind of kept just driving around in space, you know, just kind of going around in circles in the sky. I mean, there it was. We could all see where we're trying to go. And yet we were all sort of just going around, driving around merrily in the sky. Kind of like when you go out for a Sunday drive and you're not really sure where you're headed. You're just going just to go. It was kind of like that. And I thought, well, we're here. Let's get here. Some of y'all have ridden with me on trips. I don't stop. Only time I stop is to put some gas in the car and then let's just go. Because I either want to be here or I want to be there. So, okay, let's go. And I'm getting better about stopping because sometimes you see the most beautiful things along the way. But, so we're driving around in the sky, basically. Just, you know, we're not going up anymore. We're not going down anymore. Nothing bad is happening. We're just kind of just do. And I think, when all of a sudden the voice of the airline captain comes over the plane and he says,
ladies and gentlemen, we have reached our destination, but we are in a holding pattern because they are getting the runway ready for us, blah, 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 blah.
Well, all of a sudden, it went right off in my soul, just like fireworks from within. Y'all know I like anything that glitters or lights up or whatever, and that's exactly what happened. My soul lit up, and I thought, now that'll preach. That will preach. We're in a holding pattern, he said. Well, I thought about that lady who said her prayers weren't working, right? That she was actually concerned that her prayers were not, you know, not getting anything done. And my answer was, how do you know? Well, for some of us, you know, when you have that Groundhog Day, like that old movie where every day was exactly kind of the same day over and over and over again, where you have maybe a like C-minus type of spell in your life, nothing evil is happening. We don't have to pray you out of nothing. Nothing catastrophic is happening. You're not falling apart. Nothing bad. You can't put your finger on it. It's just this vague kind of mediocre kind of, I don't know, just not that exciting. Nothing bad's happening. You ain't going backwards, but you ain't going forwards either. Well, might be in a holding pattern. So let's talk about the holding pattern. Because if that's you, if I just diagnosed you and you're saying, hey, you know what? I might be in a holding pattern. I can't put my finger on it, but it's just sort of gray and hazy and kind of just bleh. I can't point to the last time I really got a miracle or a breakthrough. I'm just kind of treading water, driving around in the sky, right? I mean, just kind of, okay, nothing bad's happening. Thank God the plane ain't crashing. Nothing bad's happening. Nobody's alarmed. We're just kind of, you know, driving around. We can see where we want to be, but we're still up here driving around in the sky. Might be in a holding pattern. So let's talk about a holding pattern. I mean, you know, might as well, right? First of all, a holding pattern might possibly be for your protection. See, sometimes when we think we're not going anywhere, we ain't going anywhere bad either. Right? I mean, we're not going anywhere disastrous either. We're not getting quite to where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we could be. And so a holding pattern may be for your protection. Maybe you don't need to meet them. Maybe you don't really need to be in that place at that time. I'm thinking about one time when I had to be in class. You know, I teach college and I had to be at my own class to teach it. And everything started happening to me that day. I mean, weird stuff, you know, just like, you know, I forgot my keys, have to go back in the house, something spills on my shirt, got to start all over with a different dress, and things just bizarre. And the whole time I'm praying, and I'm like, please, I've got to get there. And finally, I fussed at the Creator enough, right, to where I finally get in my car, and I'm driving, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I get on the 4-lane, and as I'm getting on the exit, I look, and what do I see? An 11-car pileup. No lie. 11-car pileup. And there's this semi, and it's tipped over on its side, and there's gravel everywhere, and all these cars are all crushed up and crunched up and everything like that. And if I'd have been a few minutes earlier, I'd have been in the middle of that mess. Mm-hmm. And here I was fussing at the Creator because he wasn't helping me get there. And he knew if you get there any sooner, my goodness, will you be in trouble. And so guess what? I was in a holding pattern. Sometimes a holding pattern is for your protection. You don't need to be part of that mess. So you just aren't there. Right? You just ain't there. You're just elsewhere. You're in a holding pattern. Well, in our case, there was another plane on the runway where we were trying to land, and we obviously could not land there at that moment. So guess what? We got to drive around in a holding pattern. Sometimes a holding pattern is simply because God knows something you don't know. See, none of us knew that there was a plane on the runway down there. We're just all sitting there wondering how come we're not landing right now. But really, the pilot knew that to land right now would be terribly dangerous and disastrous for lots of people. He knew the runway wasn't ready yet. He knew there was another plane on it. We didn't know that, but he did. Sometimes God knows something about your situation you don't know. So guess what? You just get to kind of drive around in a holding pattern in the sky or whatever in life because there's something about your situation that you don't know. Yeah. See, sometimes we're in a holding pattern for another reason. Sometimes we're in a holding pattern simply because there's something in us. We need to work on ourselves. I love this shirt. Don't you love this shirt? This shirt came from Cave Designs. I love it. Y'all need to go there. Cave Designs. They're awesome. But you are just not ready for prime time. And let me tell you about that. I had been asleep on the plane, and y'all know that I usually don't wear makeup. I'm not wearing any right now. I usually look just like this. All the time. So that's why people always say I look exactly like my pictures, because I do. Really nothing changes between the pictures you see on Facebook and when you see me in real life. And so, but I had been asleep for I don't know how long, right? And so I had a chance to drag a brush through my hair, and I had a chance to wipe the crumbs off my face and get ready that when I landed, I could look real pretty. I had a chance to kind of get myself, you know, spritz a little perfume on and kind of work on myself while we're in this holding pattern in the sky. Well, sometimes the holding pattern is for you to work on you. It's some time for you to get in shape. It's some time for you to learn a new skill so you can get promoted on your job or learn your tribal language or do something to work on you. Why? Because once again, sometimes there's something that God knows that you don't know. In my case, I had to freshen up during the holding pattern while we were kind of going around in circles in the sky. Why? Because in that country, it's different from the United States. So like in the United States, I thought, oh, I'll get off the plane and I'll freshen up and then I'll go down to baggage claim and all these people will be so happy to see me and I'll hug their neck and be happy to meet everybody. But you know what? When I got here, I realized something. I was told that they don't have the bathroom is not, people come to the plane still. People walk up to the gate and they wait with flowers and candy and they want to see you and they have cameras and they can't wait till you get off the plane. Now, wouldn't that have been something? That little holding pattern gave me a chance to freshen up so I could walk out of the plane and into the terminal and everybody would be happy to see me. I didn't know that. I thought I'd have an opportunity to change things. But when I hit the ground, I hit it running. See, sometimes when the Creator knows what's coming in your future and you don't, He gives you a little while to work on you to get ready for what's coming next. That's actually merciful if we think about it. It's really a blessing. Sometimes we're in a holding pattern. Not just to work on ourselves, but sometimes we're in a holding pattern because we are attached to somebody else. I hear this a lot with married people or people with their kids. You know, the person is ready to do something. I had a friend, she wanted to buy a house so badly. That was her dream, to save up money and buy a home and be a homeowner. And her husband believed in renting. He had never been, you know, he'd always rented, and that was just what he believed. And so she would go look for houses, and she would save up, and she would pray for a house. And he was like, no interest at all in that. And so she said, why am I not getting a house, honey, Dawn? And I said, well, you know what? Maybe it's him. Maybe we need to stop praying for the house and start praying for him. Just help that he will have a vision of what his life could be like as a homeowner, that y'all could move up and above where you live right now and have a little piece of the planet, practice hospitality, do the things you want to do. So One day he was driving home from work and he passed a for sale sign in front of a house that looked like a house he always liked when he was a little boy. And he told his wife, well, you know, we could go look at it. And she said, well, that's not the house I wanted, Dawn. And I said, well, honey, you know, sometimes you have to meet people halfway or three quarters or whatever. Just go look. And they went and looked, and the couple who lived there liked them so well that they took a big chunk of money off the price. And my friend and her husband got that house, and they still live there today. So sometimes the holding pattern, it's because it's somebody else. It's honestly, it's somebody else. God's working on somebody else, dear future husband. Yeah, God's working on somebody. You need a new job, and God's putting all these pieces together. Life has a lot of moving parts. It has a lot of moving parts. And so sometimes God is doing something. He's working on your behalf. You can't see it. I mean, think about creation. You know, the earth was without form and void, but the Spirit was moving on the face of the waters. So sometimes when you don't see anything happening, it doesn't mean nothing's happening. It means that the Creator is very busy working on your behalf, but maybe He has to work on people other than you. Now, sometimes it is you. Mm-hmm. Now, this brings me to another reason why sometimes we're in a holding pattern. Sometimes it's us. Yeah, it's us. There's something we need to change in our lives. There's something we need to do. There's something we need to learn. There's something we need to develop. We need to get ready for the next stage. Now, secretly, in my own experience, when I found out that I'm the problem, I get happy. I'm like, whew, yes, thank you. Because I can do something about me. I can't control anybody else, but I can do something about me. I can learn the lesson that Creator's trying to teach me and get with the program. I can repent. I can straighten up and fly right. I can change something. I can grow. I can do a lot of things. So I'm happy sometimes when I find out, oh, it's me again. But sometimes it is us. We're in a holding pattern because there's just something that needs to take place within us. And then sometimes it really is about another person or another situation. It wasn't any of our faults that we were in a holding pattern. It had to do with air traffic controllers and airlines and other people on the ground who had nothing to do with us. But because of what they were doing or not doing, we were riding around in a holding pattern. That doesn't mean you're doomed. It just means that sometimes that's the reason. There's another reason why sometimes we find ourselves in a holding pattern. And I think it's because God needs our attention. The Creator just wants to spend more time with us. It's a chance for us to spend some time with Creator. You know, we get so busy, go, 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 go. Maybe you ain't been to stomp dance like you want to be, or, you know, you're not going to church like you should, or you miss Sundance again and all. And then a holding pattern in your life gives you a chance to draw closer to the Spirit. Just some, hey, you got time now. Might as well. It's not that we shouldn't be praying all the time, because we should, but sometimes in these periods of the holding pattern, like when I was on that plane after I freshened up, I did pray. I prayed for the people I was fixing to meet, and I prayed for all of you, and I prayed for my family and friends, and I prayed for, you know, because I had time. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, you should always put prayer first. Yes, you should. But if you do a lot of things, life has a way sometimes of keeping us very busy, and not all of that is under our control. So sometimes it's just because we're getting a chance to draw close to Creator, to spend some time with the Lord that we don't usually get to spend. And sometimes it's because it's an opportunity to draw closer to other people. I didn't get a summer teaching assignment one summer, and I was really disappointed, and I was concerned about money, and I really needed it, I thought. But it meant that I was literally home all day. Like, I didn't work that summer. And I spent that summer with my grandma. I took care of her. She had cancer. I helped my mom take care of her. I sat around with her and listened to stories and talked to her. I watched football games with her, and I ate barbecue and had family cookouts with her, and I did life with her. Yeah. Because usually I stay so busy. I'm gone a lot, and always. But that summer, it was so quiet, and I mean, I would just see her in the morning, and she'd be having her coffee, and we'd talk about things, or I'd sing to her, and we'd talk about ideas, and she'd tell stories from her childhood, and we just, you know, that's all we did that summer. Well, when autumn came and it was time for me to go back and teach again, the very first week that I was in classes, she passed away. Oh, it broke my heart. But the one thing that I treasure out of all of that was that what I thought was a disappointment because I didn't get a summer teaching assignment actually turned out to be one of the best things that could have happened to me. It was a holding pattern, simply so I could spend time with her. It happened again. I didn't get a teaching assignment one summer, and so I got to spend summer in Miami with my beloved brother. And we went to the beach, and we went to shop at Out of the Closet, and we went to South Beach, and we went to Aventura and Bayside, and we went, oh, we went out to the Everglades, and we rode around at Buffalo Tigers. We rode in the airboat, and we did all these things. And that was the last time I spent with him on this earth. He passed away suddenly, and he passed away tragically, and I am so thankful that I didn't get that summer job. That holding pattern that I thought was a frustration was the best thing that could have happened to me. Because I stocked up on memories. And I stored up time with him. Now, don't get frightened. I didn't say that every time you're in a holding pattern, someone's going to die, because that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is sometimes a holding pattern is a wonderful time to spend with your children, your grandchildren, people who love you and you love them, but you're usually just so busy, and now you have time. You can have them over to the house and, you know, sit around and visit, and everybody can catch up, and you can grow closer to one another. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a beautiful blessing? I mean, think about that, you know? Sometimes you're in a holding pattern. And it's because somebody needs you there. You know, I was in those holding patterns so that I could spend time with loved ones before they walked on. But on this particular plane, I was in a holding pattern, and there was a lady who had several small children, and one was crying, and one was had drool on its face, and all this kinds of stuff. And I turned to her and I said, "Ma'am, can I help you? Would you like some chewing gum? Can I help you?" And she did something a lot of folks do, and I've never been able to figure out why people do this to me, but they do. They do it in church. They do it in strange places. People just hand me their babies. I mean, I'm not talking about people I know. I'm talking about people I've never seen before. And they're like, "Here, can you hold this baby? Or here, can you take this baby?" You know? I was in church, and one lady just handed me her baby while she looked for her offering in her purse. And I thought, oh, okay. It's a greater compliment to be trusted than to be loved, right? And so this lady suddenly hands me her baby, and I have this baby. And we're just flying around in this holding pattern. And I wipe off her little face with a little wet towel, and I get her little shoes back on, and we ride around some more in the holding pattern, and I realize that's an opportunity to help others. I mean, while you're in the holding pattern, you might as well be useful, right? Is any of this starting to sound familiar? You think you might be in a holding pattern? And if you are in a holding pattern, then I strongly suggest some things that we can do when we find ourselves in the holding pattern. The very first thing I want to say, and I'm going to say this real loud so it'll stick in your mind and you will think of this every time you think of me. Stay with the plane. Stay with the plane. The holding pattern is not the time for me to decide, you know what, I'm really tired of kind of flying around in here, and I think I want to get off this plane. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's not the time to get out of the plan of God for your life or become insane or go off and do wild things. No, stay with the plane. Unless maybe you're the 82nd Airborne and then God bless you. But I mean, for the rest of us, jumping out of the plane is a terrible idea. Stay with the plane. Just stay with the plane. This is not the time to quit your job. No, this is not the time to leave your spouse. You know, grass is greener. No, it ain't. You in a holding pattern. If you leave the plane right now, you will suffer devastating effects. That doesn't mean don't change your life. It doesn't mean don't grow. It means that a lot of people get in the holding pattern and they panic. They have a midlife or quarter life crisis, and then they just go insane and do a bunch of dumb stuff. And then we all have to come and help get you out, and we have to pray you out, and we have to get you out of the ditch that you're in, and everything is terrible. When really, just stay with the plane. Just stay with the plane. Don't quit college yet. Don't drop out of high school. Don't you dare. Don't make me have to come out over there and... No, don't do it. Stay with the plane. Just stay with the plane. Just, you know, the plane, stay. Just sit comfortably. And to stay with the plane, guess what you gotta do? Trust the pilot. Trust the pilot. See, you know, what if I'd have got up and said, you know what, we've been in this holding pattern and I didn't sign on here to drive around in the sky and that was not my plan and what is this pilot doing? Well, that wouldn't have gone very well, would it? Sometimes we have to trust the pilot. That'll preach. Because you see, when I got on the plane, I did that making a decision that that pilot was better at flying me to this country than I was. I mean, if I'd have been a great, wonderful pilot, then I could have gotten a plane and I could have flown overseas and I could have landed it, but I knew I couldn't do that. So when I got in the plane, I was making a decision to trust the pilot to get me from here to there. Trust the pilot. Now, sometimes it's a little bit hard to trust the pilot. The pilot came on and said, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a holding pattern, and said nothing else. He didn't, we're in a holding pattern because there's another plane on the runway and they're getting it fixed up for us. But he didn't say any more. He didn't say the holding pattern will last for approximately 28 minutes and then we will land and disembark and everything will be fine. He didn't say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this holding pattern, I'll be going at this speed while I'm going around. He didn't say, okay, now during this holding pattern, you know, I'm going to turn on some music and everybody can listen to, you know, so. No! He told us we were in a holding pattern. And then he went quiet. You ever had the Creator go quiet? You ever been wondering what you should do, and it's really important to you, and it really matters to you a whole lot, and you have cricket noises? GPS does that sometimes. You ever notice that? Like, as long as you're going the right way, GPS doesn't say much. And then when you start going wrong or there's another change or you need to do something, then it says something. But you can drive a long way. One time I was GPSing a trip and literally it was like 300 miles on this highway or something. And GPS said not a word until I got near the exit. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people I'm a cheerleader by nature. That's what I am. I'll cheer you on, your spiritual cheerleader. I'm like, you can do it. Sometimes y'all will look in your inbox and there'll be little messages from me. And I've had people say, is that really you? Yes, it's really me. Now, not everything is me. A lot of my social media and a lot of things are run by other people, you know. But that when I'm talking to my friends and family, yes, that's me. And so, you'll look in your inbox sometimes and I'll say, I'm praying for you, because I am. I'm believing in you. I believe in you. I believe in what you're doing. I'm making some prayers right now and I included you in them. That's yeah, exactly. And I like that too. I like the kind of people who are like, woo, way to go. I believe in you. Keep it up. You're awesome. You know? But in today's world, mostly we have people who don't say a word until they don't like something. You notice that? You can post a picture and people like, and then you'll post something else and people, oh, arguments in the comments, drama, slander, dragging, all of this. So for me, what I would love is to be going through each day and to have
you know, the spirit just telling me you're doing a great job, fantastic, stay on the path, good red road, you're awesome. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the pilot is quiet. And I think we grow sometimes during those quiet times. I think they stretch our faith in a way that the noisy times might not. Because we simply have nothing to do except trust the pilot. Trust the process. Stay with the plane. Understand? I understand. This pilot has landed many planes safely, or we wouldn't be here right now. I have landed zero planes safely, unless you count those planes like at the amusement park where you get in and they kind of, you know, my nephew and I fly around or whatever. But I've never landed a plane, and he has. So I have a choice. I can either stick with the plane and trust the pilot, even if he's quiet and he doesn't say anything. I have to just believe that this is for my good. This holding pattern is helping me in some way. It's helping me to get closer to the destination, even though it looks like it's the long way around. And I want to say something about that too. Because if you're in a holding pattern, one thing you need to know is that the shortcut or the easy way is not always the best way. See, we live in a world where if you want to eat a meal, you can get one in 3 minutes flat. But let me tell you something. Nothing you get at a fast food window in 3 minutes compares to when my daddy makes barbecue. And in that open pit, it's in there all night, and the coals are hot, and the brick oven and the clay ovens are going. You keep your fast food. I'll wait.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of this amazing conversation.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dog's supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. More than 250,000 dogs are placed into fighting pits each year. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. If you think staged animal fights have no place in our communities, then join us in the fight now. We're going to put dogfighting out of business once and for all. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
A message from the Humane Society of the United States. Learn more at humanesociety.org.
You know, sometimes in our life, you won't need sunglasses for the rest of this talk because I'll be throwing a little shade. Sometimes when we go the easy way, we get what easy produces. What if that pilot on our plane, I didn't forget, what if our plane that's going around in circles in the sky, driving around, had just said, you know what?
I know where there's a field. I know these air traffic controllers are telling me I got to drive around up here, but I could just go to a local football field or something and land this plane. What? Mayhem, chaos, whatever. And yet, you know what? We got people doing that all the time. Wise counsel from your elders. Nah, I'll just do things my own way. And then we got to all get bail money together for you. We've got to have prayer meetings just for you. We can't have a conversation without your name in our mouths because you decided to go the easy way. I understand. Shortcuts. Now, I think that there are some things that build bridges into faster progressions, like favor, divine connections, divine appointments. Sometimes Creator will put you in the right place, the right time, you meet the right person, boom. You know? I was thinking about Mac Niff. He and I just made a song together called Walking on Water. And I hope that you'll take time and download Water is Life. We're on Water is Life 2, track 13. But it's two free CDs, which is so generous and kind of all these artists. I love it. If you visit NativeAmericanMusicAwards.com, you can download both CDs for free. But I'm thinking about when I first met Mac Niff, hip-hop artist. I had won a Indigenous Artist Activist Award, and I was helping to MC the program, host the program. Wonderful organization, fabulous people, beautiful awards ceremony. And Mac Niff was one of the people scheduled to perform, but we had run out of time. And he graciously ceded his time to somebody who had come to the program from much farther away so they could perform. And he did it. I even said to him, I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, yeah. But he did it so graciously. It wasn't like, well, all right then. It was just like, oh no, that's all right. And he said, oh, I'll get other chances to perform. And I thought that was so classy that I didn't tell him this, but at that moment I made up in my mind, I'm going to do some things to bless that young man. His attitude, his kindness and his generosity made me think of ways. How can I help to make up for that performance that he missed? So what do you do if you're in a holding pattern? Because we've talked about the holding pattern, and remember, we're still in the sky driving around, right? Well, one of the most important things about the holding pattern is to keep a good attitude. And how do we do that? Number one is gratitude. I'm grateful that pilot didn't try to land on top of another plane. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you to all the people that are down there cleaning out that runway and putting the gate together and making it to where we can land safely. Thank you. Thank you, Creator, that the wind and the waves and the weather and all that hasn't affected us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Gratitude is the only attitude worth having. You say that all the time. Yes, and I'm going to say it some more. Are you doing it? What happens to you during the holding pattern? You can become bitter or you can become better. We've all met those people, right? They have a job that they don't really like. This guy came to me one time and he was talking about how he fusses with his wife and he has all these problems. And I said, oh my goodness, what do you think is causing that? And he said, I hate my job. And I'm like, well, great. Let's get a new one. And he said, oh no, the job I have is close to my house. What? 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 You're going to stay at a job you hate because it's close to your house. It's poisonous, toxic, seeping into every area of your life. But you're going to stay there because it's close to your house. Guess what else might be close to your house? Another different job. There are four directions. Maybe it's close to your house, west of your house, but maybe south of your house or north of your house or east of your house. There's a better job. Just saying. So our attitude is everything. When we're in those holding pattern, you know, we can't get bitter and hateful and ugly and mean, because you know what'll happen? You'll miss the way out. You'll miss the way out. See, if I'd have gotten ugly and hateful and I can't believe I'm on this plane and what in the world, that attitude would have come with me off the plane and it would have seeped into my interactions when I met the people who were super excited to see me. Besides, they had a little suspense, right? They had to wait a few minutes, and so I got to make an entrance. Everybody was even more excited because we were a few minutes late, and so they were super happy to see us when we finally got there. Now, why am I saying this? What am I saying exactly? I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, please have gratitude. That's it. Have it all the time. Just see my pretty little face, hear me say, have gratitude. Gratitude is the only attitude that will get you anywhere. It is. Every other attitude will keep you stuck. If you don't like the holding pattern, guess how you'll stay there even longer? By being ungrateful, murmuring, fault-finding, complaining. You just will. Negativity, it will keep you stuck. You know them people who are stuck. Go to the BMV sometime. Have you talked to some of those people? That was not their dream job. And now they're like, you know, surly and stuff. And I'm not throwing shade if you work there. A job is a job, and I'm glad you have one. But if you have that job, you have a chance to impact people's lives for the better. Just by being a bright spot in their day. You're going to be there anyway. Might as well be cheerful. Just saying. Number two, if you're going to survive the holding pattern and get every bit out of it that you need to get in order to have the life that you want to have, there's something else you got to do. Know what it is? You know what it is. Oh my goodness. You know what it is because it's the same thing it always is. Love Creator and love others. That's it. You know, sometimes I get so tired of my own problems. I don't know about you, but I just get tired of my own problems. I get tired of praying about my own problems and my own, the same thing over and over again. And that stirs me to pray for you, to pray for other people, to pray for my friends and family, to pray for the whole world. And what I think secretly in my soul is if I'll stop worrying about me all the time, you know, if I'll just take the crown off and set it over here for a while and pray for somebody else and try to help somebody else and think about somebody else, guess what'll happen? Creator will tell somebody else to pray for me. See, while I'm giving love, I'm gathering it. So love Creator, love others. I know, I say that all the time. Guess what? Just said it again. Because that's what's going to help you survive the holding pattern. It's going to help you have grace and find every bit of what's wonderful in that. Because secretly, what you and I both know is that love Creator and love others is all we're really created to do. It's really what we're put here to do. It's really the purpose. I mean, there may be something else we're supposed to do. No, there's not. Love Creator, love others. And that looks like different verbs. It looks like different actions. It looks like different ways of doing and being right for each of us. But that is what we're created to do. There's another thing that we're going to do. If we need to survive the holding pattern, remember, we're going to stay with the plane. We're going to trust the pilot. We're going to love Creator. We're going to love others. We're going to have gratitude, right? We need to realize something. Okay, get ready. Ready? The holding pattern never changed our destination. If I had a mic, I'd drop it there. The holding pattern never changed our destination. It never changed it. We had a destination on the ticket. We were promised that we would get there, and we did. And just because we were a few minutes late didn't mean we didn't get there. In fact, I got there better because I had a chance to freshen up. I got there better because I had a chance to pray. I got there better because I had a chance to help that lady with her baby and her family. And guess what I found out? The lady that I helped, that I held her baby and I helped her with her children and everything during the holding pattern, guess who she is? The neighbor of the people I came to see. Now, what if I'd have been ugly and rude and said, oh, I can't believe that baby's crying when I'm in a holding pattern. I'm so stressed out. I would never say that, but what if I had? Wouldn't have gone down very well. First thing out of her mouth when she saw the people I was coming to see was, oh my goodness, this is the, oh wow, she's so wonderful. She took care of my kids and she helped me and all this. And my family here thinks, oh, how wonderful. Some things are a setup. God's always trying to bless you. He got secret agent blessings all over the place. He's got things with your name on them and they're hidden. But you have to be ready. Another thing you need to know to survive the holding pattern. During the holding pattern, we have to stay alert. Why? Now, it seems like if the plane is just driving around in circles, we should all just go back to sleep. We should all just kick back until somebody tells us what to do. But the thing was, we never knew when it was actually going to land. See, the holding pattern never changed our destination. We were going to get there. And we got there. But because we didn't quite know when, we couldn't really let up, could we? I mean, what if I'd have said, you know, this is a good time for me to pull some mud mask out and put this on my face and everything. And they said, okay, we're landing, ladies and gentlemen. Snap. This was an opportunity. Sometimes when we pray, the answer we get is an opportunity. And we have to be ready to recognize those God-given opportunities, those God-given open doors, those God-given people and connections. Y'all remember I told you about MacNeff? In that one moment, the Creator did something for me. He and his lovely wife have become great friends of mine. I don't know what I'd do without them. And he and I have collaborated on music, and he's been on my show, and he's helped me promote some things. I mean, he promotes my things better than I promote them. But if I just missed that opportunity, just that quick second, I would have missed all that blessing. I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. But that's all right. That's okay. Stories come from, like, have you noticed this? Traveling and car problems. I don't know what that means, but all these things happen. But I was on a plane, and I was sitting there, and there were military men, three military men, and young guys about my age and everything, and we were sort of like this. Like, one of them was next to me, and then the other two were across the aisle. And we all kind of hit it off. I didn't know them, but we were on the plane, and this was a different plane. And they were really nice, and we all were talking. And, of course, I do a lot for our troops and veterans, and I love our troops and veterans so much. I stand for the national anthem, and I always will, so, you know. But anyway, I was there, and I thought it was a really fun flight. And finally, one of them said, okay. He said, I got to say something. He said, you know, I follow you on Facebook, and I've heard you talk about, oh, how you'd like to meet a good man and all this kind of stuff at that point. And I thought, wow, yeah, what's going on with that? I mean, she's beautiful. She's talented. How come she's not meeting anybody? What's up with that? He's like, but I'm sitting here with you. He said, and me and my bros, any one of us would jump for you if you said how high. And, you know, these are military guys. They're active duty. These are pretty good-looking guys, right? And he said, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you have a pencil in your hair. Because I had made one of those Native women buns with a pencil. He said, you have a pencil in your hair, and you're eating my bro's trail mix, and you're, like, sitting up, leaning up against him, and you're, you know, you're kicked off your shoes like we're all at a slumber party. He said, you're not even trying. And I thought, huh, I don't know what he's talking about. But then after I thought about it, I thought, oh, wow. Because, see, God is probably not going to send future husbands to your house unless it's the pizza guy or the UPS guy and the postal guy. And, I mean, that's pretty good. But, I mean, probably he's going to answer because you're going to meet people. And I just met three of them and, you know, did absolutely nothing about it. And this dude called me out on it. Crazy. But another time I went to a powwow with my cousins. And we were walking around, and oh no, I have even a better story than that one. I'll come back to that one, but this is better. I have a sister friend, Rhonda Head. Oh my goodness, she's talented. Y'all need to hear her song, 500 Years. And it is so thought-provoking and really talks about the historical perspective and unity and healing. And it's just a great song. So go Google, Facebook, Rhonda Head. Oh, Jen was there. Bless her heart. What a doll baby. And we were at a powwow. And it's a big powwow, a big Canadian powwow. And, you know, nothing but gorgeous Native men in regalia, right? As far as the eye can see, you know. And we're sitting there in the seats, and this guy comes up, and he says, is anybody sitting in that seat? You know, anybody sitting there? And I said, oh, I need that for my purse. The purse is sitting there. Okay, you know, I'm not proud of that. But it did happen. And so, you know, I don't know why God calls me to tell all the dumb stuff I do, but maybe you'll learn from that. But, yeah. Well, okay then. So, I was at another powwow with my cousins, and we were all walking around, and we had a great time, I thought. And at the end of the day, my cousin says to me, I don't feel sorry for you no more. He said, I used to think, wow, what is going on here? He said, but I watched him. I watched him all day. I watched the guy walk up to you and say, hey, do you know where they sell fry bread? And your answer was, you see that big fry bread sign over there? Over there. He said, I feel no sympathy for you anymore. He said, because I just watched them all try all day, and I watched you be dumb. Well, all of these incidents work together to cause me to think about why I'm not seizing God-given opportunities. And maybe your holding pattern will do the same thing for you. See, sometimes when in a holding pattern, we need to realize that the way to get out of the holding pattern is to recognize when the doors open. When God-given opportunities come our way, when we have a chance to get out of the holding pattern, we need to leave. It is great to stay with the plane while the plane is in the air, while the plane is landing, while the plane is getting itself situated, but once they turned on all the lights and the flight attendants were like, thanks for flying with us, see y'all later, and everybody else is getting their bags and everyone's running off the plane to see their loved ones, if I'd have sat there and sat there and sat there and missed the God-given opportunity to leave, to depart from the plane, that's on me. The final thing I want to say about a holding pattern is you've got to recognize God-given opportunities to leave it. Sometimes we get so comfortable in our comfort zones and we get so used to where we are that we actually stay there. Don't do that. Just don't do that. You don't want to do that. When it's time to leave the holding pattern, when finally your door opens, seize that God-given opportunity. Open that door. Walk right through it. The holding pattern can serve a really powerful purpose, but none of us were created to live there. My trip, I didn't buy a ticket to ride around in a holding pattern. I got a smaller purse and it don't sit in my chair next to me anymore. The seat next to me, well, it can be filled by the right person. I think about my friend who needed a job. And we prayed for her to get a job. And oh my goodness, we had prayer requests at church. And everybody at the stomp ground was like, here, how about this job or whatever? Share, share, share. And we were literally walking down the street. I mean, literally, like, you know, one foot in front of the other. And we walked. And all of a sudden I said, hey, wait a minute, let's go back here. And there was a big old sign that said, help wanted. We had literally walked right past an opportunity for her to apply for a job. We missed it because we actually became stuck in the holding pattern of talking about her not getting a job and where was she going to find a job, who would hire her, when right there was a big old giant sign that said, help wanted. That little woman that this all started with, she said her prayers weren't getting answered. I loved her enough to pray until I got an answer. But once you get your answer, bye, go. One of my great spiritual mentors, another great shell shaker who was an elder, I thought she's just so awesome, you know, and she invited me and some other shell shakers to come out and fast and pray with her. And we needed some answers, we needed some prayers answered, and she said, you girls come out here with me and we'll go out and we'll pray. And I said, oh my goodness, this is going to be some prayer. Whew, I'm going to learn something about prayer today. I got myself situated. I put on all my favorite fasting skirt, got ready, and I was like, oh, this is going to be something. I mean, and I even told my sister, said, I don't know when I'll be back because we're going to be at the stomp ground. And she was like, oh, I'll wait up for you. I said, oh, no, you don't have to because I know this. We're going to tear it down tonight. And we prayed for about 15 minutes, and all of a sudden, the answer came with somebody driving up in a truck with the answer. And she was like, oh, well, guess we can all go home now. And I was like, well, wait a minute. This is supposed to be all night prayer and fasting and everything. We're going to really tear it down. And she said, well, we got our answer, right? Now, let's, we got the wisdom we needed. Let's walk in it. And we all went back to the house and did what we needed to do. I'm telling you that to let you know that sometimes when you're in a holding pattern, once you learn the lessons, once you grow, once your safety is established, you can leave the holding pattern. You can go to the next level in life. That plane landed at exactly where it was supposed to all along. as kind of a bonus point about the holding pattern, I want to say there's one other thing I want you to know. Sometimes your holding pattern isn't. Sometimes your holding pattern is not a holding pattern. Sometimes it's part of the plan. You see, the pilot of that plane and the air traffic controllers and the airline and the airport, they all knew that that holding pattern was actually part of the plan. We didn't know it because there was something about the situation that all of us didn't know, but they knew that. And they knew when they got there, if there was another plane on the runway, then part of the plan is that you drive around in the air until everything's okay and then you land safely. See, what if your holding pattern really wasn't? What if it's part of the plan? I was so frustrated, remember, when I didn't get that summer job and I spent the whole summer at home with my grandma, but that was part of the plan so that I could see her off into the next world. I didn't know that. She didn't know that. But somebody did. So what if the holding pattern isn't something to be frustrated by? What if it's, you know, there are holding patterns that are your fault or somebody else or something you didn't know or for your protection or time to grow or time to get close to Creator, time to get close to other people, or sometimes you're, you know, not leaving the holding pattern because you're not seizing God-given opportunities or walking through open doors. But there are some things that look like a holding pattern that are part of the plan. That lady asked me why her prayers weren't being answered. What if they were? What if her prayers are being answered right now in great and wonderful ways that she could not ever have known? Sometimes you're in a holding pattern because you're aiming too low. I think about one time when I was in grad school and I was trying to get a car and I needed a car and oh my goodness. And somebody had a Toyota Corolla from back in the 80s or something, and they were gonna sell it to me for $1,000, and I was trying to scrape up the money, during that time I didn't get that car, and I was so disappointed because I thought, oh no, you know, oh what. And a couple weeks later I went to my birthday party, and it was a pink and red party. Pink, red, silver, and gold are my very favorite colors, Valentine colors, you know, to wear. And so everybody was wearing white or silver and gold or red or pink. And it just was a great party. It was a wonderful party. I still had no car, but it was a great party. And I loved it. And I loved everybody there. And it was really fun. We were having a great time. And then my daddy said, you know, we'll all have to go outside to see my present. And we did. We went outside. And there was a white Cadillac parked outside. It had a big red bow on it. And it was, the outside detailing was red, and the inside was like red velvet. And I love that car, oh my goodness. I'm not even gonna post the video of how I was just like, oh, you know, I was so happy. I drove that car to the dealer finally, said, honey, you have to stop driving this car. I was like, no. And even to this day, I have a little Cadillac thing and I put it on my Christmas tree like an ornament every year because I love that car so much. And the only thing that made it all right is that the Christmas after I got my PhD, my daddy said we had to go outside and see his. It was the most beautiful thing. It was a Jaguar, which I dearly love. And so somebody says, come outside and see your present in our family. It's usually pretty good. But here's my point. I was trying to get a Toyota Corolla that was old and beat up, and the nicest thing about it was that it had cold air. That was it. And I couldn't get that $1,000 together, and guess what? Creator had something so much bigger and better and more wonderful for me to drive. I was aiming too low. Huh. Some of you know that about people you're trying to date. You like them, and Creator's like, oh no, not them. They're totally unsuitable for where you're going in life. They can't go. I remember one time I really liked this guy, and my granddaddy said, oh no. I said, but he's nice. My grand said, oh no, he can't go where you're going. He can't go with you. And he couldn't. So sometimes I believe Creator simply is just you in a holding pattern, because if he lets you have what you wanted, it's so far below what he has planned for you. He has a destiny for you. He has wonderful things for you. And you're trying to get craziness. I don't know where you are tonight. But I do know that the Creator loves you, the Spirit loves you, and He has a beautiful plan for your life. I know that. And when the plane lands and you can get out and you can go forward, go. I know you could be doing anything else in the whole wide world, but it means the world to me that you would spend this time with me. So, I love y'all.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.